The disease that may eventually kill Timothy Westmoreland is the disease that got him into writing. Westmoreland wanted to be an astronomer. When he was a freshman at the University of Texas at Arlington, outside of Dallas, he was already so good at it, he was running the astronomy lab. But that's when Westmoreland learned that his life wasn't going to be what he dreamed. Since he was 7, he'd known that he had diabetes. But when he started having troubles with his sight in college, his optometrist referred him to another eye doctor.
And he told me, unless you can do the math in your head, the math that you're going to be required to do, you need to probably consider another career. Because I was beginning to show the initial signs of diabetic retinopathy. And so this was really a very devastating period of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had planned my entire life.
Diabetes attacks the microvascular systems, the body's tiny blood vessels. Westmoreland has only 30% of his kidney function. He has had more than 20 operations on his eyes alone, and he still may go blind if his retina's hemorrhage. Westmoreland sank into a 2-year depression, but then he started reading the fiction of John Updike and took creative writing courses. This, he thought, was something he could do, something not that different from astronomy.
People don't think of astronomy or physics as a creative process, but it is. It's about recognizing patterns, recognizing order, and trying to explain those patterns. And I also found that writing fiction assuaged that depression and the feeling that I was somehow inept and decrepit at the same time. And I felt in some ways that being able to write defied those inevitabilities, the things that were going wrong with my body.
Westmoreland's stories, in good as any, have a haunting quality of unspoken things. They've been compared to Russell Banks and Raymond Carver's for their blue-collar bleakness, their deadpan humor, and their moments of unexpected beauty, as in this excerpt from the story Strong at the Broken Places. The narrator has watched his friend Murphy tear apart his kitchen in the middle of the winter and, oddly enough, build a planetarium in the remains. When he's through, Murphy, his estranged wife Kathy, and the narrator celebrate by drinking absinthe and setting a fire in a trash can, using it as a backyard grill.
As though a shotgun blast filled the space between us, I felt the concussion. The lid of the trash can rose in an instant, as high as the roof, flaming coals reaching even higher into the limbs of the chestnut. Shards of fire drifted in the air, high up above us, and met with the stars. I felt as though we were liquefying, emerging into the center of the universe. Fire burned in places at the tips of tree limbs. Coals came down on the cedar roof, burned a pale white. Others drifted down and lit the dry grass. All that had been raised, lifted on the hot air, seemed to take the longest time to settle. In the trees, in the grass, on the roof of the house, asterisks of fire flickered like stars. Murphy lumbered forward toward the house. Kathy and I could only watch, stunned under the air of the absinthe. Murphy moved slowly far out into the grass and into the darkness and the fire. It seemed as if he walked among the stars.
What prompts Murphy's bout of destruction and carpentry is the news from his doctors that he's dying. This is typical of Westmoreland's stories. His characters have cancer. They've been in car wrecks. They look at the able-bodied world from an outsider's angle. To be sure, there's a long history of illness and disability in literature, from poet John Milton's blindness, which figures in his drama, Samson Agonistes, Dostoevsky's epilepsy, which afflicts a character in The Brothers Karamazov. But in more recent years, fiction writers have tended to step aside into nonfiction to address their troubles directly in memoirs and essays, like Reynolds Price in his book A Whole New Life, which concerns his paraplegia. Westmoreland writes fiction that features disease and disability, but not as a heavy-handed social cause. It's just another wound in a wounded world. This approach didn't come naturally for him. It was only after both his mother and mother-in-law died of cancer that he began to explore human ailments as part of his fiction.
And there was a whole emotional world, a dimension that had not been known to me consciously. But what I began to explore there were the fears and the complications and the way that illness does, in the same way that, say, race or gender or ethnicity shapes your identity, illness does also.
One thing that a severe illness can change, Westmoreland knows, is time. It warps it. It speeds it up. It slows you down. Timothy Westmoreland is 36, but he has the body, he says, of a rapidly aging 65-year-old. For Studio 360, I'm Jerome Weeks.
Timothy Westmoreland's book of short stories is called Good as Any.